The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be program. A well-known of the word mercy is that God calls the lid of the Ark of the Covenant the mercy seat. The Israelites transported the Ark, a gilt chest containing the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, wherever they journeyed. Normally it remained in the Holy of Holies, where God symbolically resided, first in the tabernacle and later in Solomon's temple. The mercy seat symbolizes God's throne, where he judges men's conduct, and its name reflects the basic nature of his judgments, which are always resting on mercy. This does not mean that God is soft-headed in judgment, carelessly overlooking men's sins. Even so, it is God's nature to be merciful rather than severe and vengeful. Today I'm going to look into God's mercy and its importance to our salvation. God's judgments always contain a perfect balance of justice and mercy. Though he mercifully forgives a repentant sinner, the sinner does not escape without some measure of painful judgment. In any given circumstance requiring a judgment between justice and mercy, men's judgment may be all over the map, but God's judgment, tending towards mercy, will be perfect. David understood this, as a judgment of God against him and Israel in 2 Samuel 24 shows. David had sinned in numbering Israel, an undertaking God had forbidden. When God exposed his sin and confronted him, he gave him three choices regarding penalties that would befall Israel. Reading in 2 Samuel 24, verse 14, we read, "And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So let the Lord send a plague upon Israel from the morning to the appointed time. From Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, It is enough. Now restrain your hand." God records David's wise choice so we can learn from it. In modern language, he threw himself on the mercy of the court of the great God of heaven. God revealed himself as the God of love and mercy in the covenant that he established with Israel and the blessings that he promised for obedience. God's love and mercy to us once we have repented and been given his Holy Spirit does not mean we will escape his judgment, though. Because God is love, he is gracious and merciful. But the Bible reveals that God can and does execute judgment and vengeance. As God, creator and lawgiver, he alone has the power and the right to do so. Therefore, when people sin, God must and will judge. God specifically warned Israel that he would execute judgment for their sins. This is clearly revealed in the second commandment. Let's read that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. "You shall not make yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the waters beneath your earth. You shall not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy, that's through his grace, unto thousands of them that love me, and do what? And keep my commandments. Foreseeing a time when the sins of the children of Israel would become great, God prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, To me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. God executes his judgment as a last resort to bring sinners to repentance so that he may forgive them. When properly understood, even the punishment and correction that God administers is, in fact, an act of love and mercy. Throughout the course of history, the only ones ever to experience the full fury of God's wrath have been unrepentant sinners and haters of God. God always has been desirous to bless human beings because he loves them, although God is not calling many to salvation at this time. He wants life to go to as many people in this present age. In fact, God does not delight in the death of the wicked, although he shows that they have earned death as the wages of sin. We read this in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 32. And he says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourself," through heartfelt repentance, that is, "and live." Let's read about the example of King Ahab's sin and repentance. In spite of all the blessings that God had bestowed upon ancient Israel, the hearts of the people soon turned to the worship of other gods. As part of God's judgment upon Israel, the nation was later split into the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Many of the kings who ruled these kingdoms led the people even further into sin and idolatry. The most notorious of these evil kings was Ahab, who ruled the kingdom of Israel in the days of Elijah. The prophet Elijah was sent on a special mission to pronounce God's judgment of imminent death and destruction against King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, daughter of the priest of Baal, for their grievous sins. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 19, where we read, "And you shall speak unto him, saying, Thus says the Lord, Have you killed and also taken possession? Thus says the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours." When Elijah went to Ahab and pronounced God's judgment against him, Ahab said to Elijah, as I continue to read in verse 20, "So Ahab said to Elijah, Have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your prosperity and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up, and he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." Well, it's true that God's judgment is always sure and never fails. It's also true that God desires and watches for repentance, that he may bestow mercy rather than judgment and destruction. Although Ahab was one of the most vile, wicked sinners in all the history of the kings of Israel, he did not take God's warning lightly. Notice in verse 27, Ahab's reaction to God's powerful sentence of condemnation and death by the mouth of Elijah the prophet. In verse 27 we read, "So it was, when Ahab heard those words, that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning." What a repentance. What a change of heart accompanied by fasting and weeping. Because Ahab humbled himself and repented, God delayed the execution of his judgment. Notice in verse 28, "And the words of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, See how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity of his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." This scriptural passage is most instructive because it shows that when a person chooses to repent, even one as wicked as Ahab, God in his great mercy will honor that repentance. After the days of Ahab, God also honored the repentance of Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings of Judah, and restored him to his throne. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles 33, verses 1 through 13. The Old Testament shows that God always honors true repentance from the heart and shows great mercy. Well, God dealt particularly with Israel and Judah as his chosen people. The Old Testament shows that God also honored the repentance of Gentiles who humbled themselves before God. The book of Jonah gives an account of God's judgment against the Assyrians and the repentance upon hearing God's warning through Jonah. Seeing their repentance, God deferred the execution of his judgment. Notice in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then when word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat nor drink water. And let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the destruction that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Yes, the Lord God of the Old Testament, who later became Jesus Christ of the New Testament, was a God of mercy and loving kindness. He extended grace and forgiveness to all those who repented, whether Israelite, Jew, or Gentile. This account of the book of Jonah is most significant because it shows that God has always required all nations, not only Israel and Judah, to keep his commandments. The character of God never changes. As we have seen, God extended his grace freely to individuals and nations who humbly sought his favor in the Old Testament times. God granted his grace to Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, the children of Israel, the Ninevites, David, and even King Ahab and Manasseh when they repented of their wickedness. The Old Testament is a history of those who sought God with all their hearts and receive God's mercy or grace and blessings, as opposed to those who rejected God's grace and blessing and heaped to themselves punishment and wrath for their grievous sins. Although God extended the opportunity for eternal salvation to only a few before the coming of Jesus Christ, God has always desired love, mercy, and grace, as the Old Testament prophets proclaimed. Their records of the very words of God clearly show that all accusations that the Lord of the Old Testament was the God of wrath and vengeance are utterly false. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, the message of Scripture to those who have sinned, and that is everyone alive, is to seek God and to repent of sin, and the gracious mercy of God will be poured out upon everyone. God will reach out with his goodness, blessing, and mercy to each repentant man and woman. Well, I see my time's about up. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write for two booklets. What do you mean, repent? And what does God require? All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us toll-free, the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675, and request those free booklets. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.